Good morning. Good morning.
It's great to stay up late.
It's time for Early Break, presented by NEBCO. Live from Lincoln, America. Here's 93.7 The Ticket's Jake Sorensen.
I like Stone.
Husker Online, Steve Sipple.
And here comes a sandwich from God.
And longtime college football assistant coach, Bill Bush.
Hey, somebody grab me a mocha quick, would you?
This is Early Break.
Welcome back to Hour 3 on a Wednesday. Steve Sipple, Jake Sorensen with you. Bill Bush checked out. He will join us again tomorrow via stream. Hour 3 sponsored by our friends at NEBCO.
The Co.
Now hiring at Concrete Industries for precast production labor. Check them out at concreteindustries.com or at NEBCOinc.com. We're joined now by Husker Online, Sean Callahan. Sean, good morning. Nebraska does have a primetime game, a blackout versus USC on Saturday. But still, in the last few weeks, it's all been, hey, who is Matt Rhule going to be Nebraska's head coach next year or go to Penn State? What have you heard since the last 2 weeks have happened with that situation on, in terms of where things potentially can stand with Matt Rhule and Nebraska or Penn State?
Yeah, it's kind of one of those things, guys, it's very fluid. It changes by the day, by the minute. I mean, what we know is there's been nothing like officially signed by Matt Rhule, an extension of any kind. And, you know, will there be? I mean, you would assume there'd be something if he's staying at Nebraska or they want to kind of get this thing figured out with him in Penn State. I mean, I know the people we talk to at Penn State, Blue White Illustrated, and they do a great job in State College there. Mm-hmm. You know, the feeling they get is, you know, Rhule's no longer kind of in it with them. I mean, that's just their feeling that they're hearing out there and that, you know, he's set to stay at Nebraska. Now, nothing's been official or done officially, and we can't get anything confirmed. And, you know, Nebraska, if he does sign something, we'll put something out. The question I have is, you know, what does – if he does re-sign anything, what does that look like? Because he already carries 5 years on his contract. He already has a financial package that is going to pay him more than Kurt Cignetti's going to get on his brand-new contract. So if he were to be re-signed, I mean – what does that look like? Is it more years? Is it more money? Is it NIL type things that they're looking for? What will be some of the things if you were to stay? Is the stadium project a priority to get that rolling? You know, what are the things moving forward?
Sean, you covered that well. I think we could just stop it right there because it's so speculative. I will ask you this though. I don't want to load up the question. Do you consider it important for Nebraska to retain Rhule? Do you feel like this program, I guess what I'm asking you, is on the proper trajectory?
I think, it's kind of week to week. You know, you'd love to see some momentum in the season finish out what it is, but he is retained in the sense that he carries 5 more years on his contract. It's not like, right, you know, he's in danger of his contract expiring.
No.
But, yeah, it's a matter of, like, what kind of further commitment, if everyone's on the same page, does there need to be? I mean, what is Rhule looking for? What is Nebraska, you know, what's their expectation? But, you know, you've got USC, UCLA, Penn State, and Iowa. And this is as tough of a November stretch as Matt Rhule's faced since he's been at Nebraska. And we know what the previous record for Nebraska has been the last couple of years in November. It's not been great with one win only. And this is, to me, the hardest stretch they'll play when you look at just the road trips involved and the way Iowa's playing and obviously the talent level USC is going to come into Lincoln with.
Sean, under Rhule, Nebraska's 7-3 in the month of October, 1-7 in November. Since 2019, Nebraska's 4-19 in the month of November. What does the month of November mean in your eyes? Why is it important? And I mean, why does Nebraska need to reverse this trend now?
Well, there were years ago, Bill Callahan had a quote at Nebraska. This might have been in 06 or 05. I forget when it was. But he said, people remember what you do in November.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the truth. I mean, yep, people remember that Iowa has owned Nebraska in November. I mean, I've said this to you guys a few times now. I mean, I truly believe Kirk Ferentz's success over Nebraska the last 10 years, you know, has really changed the trajectory of you know, his time there. I mean, if he loses those Black Friday games, they're not going to the same bowl. The record's not the same, but he's owned Nebraska, and you remember that, and they get bumped up to a better bowl game, and their off seasons are better.
Yeah.
And Nebraska has just not had that type of November. I mean, last year they got the win over Wisconsin, which was huge just to get to the bowl and whatnot, but they haven't had a November like Iowa had. You know, well, last week they hammered Minnesota, and then they got, you know, the ranked, or they're going to be ranked probably, in, but they've got a tough schedule ahead. So that is important. I think you have to get these clutch November wins to kind of define your year, because it kind of changes everything for you.
Sean, we live in a world right now that entering November, there's a great chance that Indiana, Vanderbilt, and Georgia Tech are playoff teams. Nebraska right now are saying, oh, what's the, you know, where's Nebraska's future with Matt Rhule? I mean, if those teams can make the playoff, like, how long does it be for Nebraska to be in that conversation and actually do it?
Yeah, it's a great question, Jake. And I think a lot of it is the line play and just having the proper bodies and development that you need to win in this league. And Nebraska, and just look no further than the draft data the last 10 years. They just have not consistently had the lineman bodies up front to play at the level it needs to be, you know, to win. I mean, they've had talent on these rosters. We know there's been some talented players on some of these teams, but they just, for whatever reason, have come up short in some key areas. And Indiana, obviously, Cignetti is kind of the 1 in 100, and everyone wants that, but I don't know how realistic what he's doing is everywhere else. But the Vanderbilt story should get your attention, because, you know, there was a point where Clark Lee looked like he might be being pushed out of Andy.
Right.
And now he's got him rolling with a New Mexico State transfer quarterback that nobody really wanted. And then they took him as a transfer, and he's kind of turned college football upside down.
Yeah, and those are key acquisitions. I mean, you have to find – I mean, that give that coach full credit. He found that guy that nobody was really looking at, and that guy has changed his program. You give a coach credit for that. Now, as far as Nebraska goes, Sean, there's this kind of stat that – doesn't get talked about very much. It's a feather in John Butler's cap to a certain extent. Nebraska this season through 8 games is yet to allow an opponent 400 yards. This is a supreme test for this USC team, is a supreme test, averaging 530. Why does that stat get overlooked a little bit?
I just think some of the styles of the game Nebraska plays, they've possessed the ball on offense a long time. Maybe limits possessions, and I think just the feel of some of the games. I mean, you know, the Michigan game, yeah, they didn't give up 400 yards, but it sure didn't feel good when you give up a bunch of home run runs. The Minnesota game, they didn't give up 400 yards, but you watched the game, it didn't feel good. So
good,
you can't always
good
just
point.
Like
yeah.
get wrapped up in stats,
right?
Because, you know, they're two losses. But, yeah, they didn't give up 400 yards, but I don't think he walked away saying, man, the defense played at an elite level because they didn't give up 400. I just think every game is different, and the play count, too. When you're only running, like, what, 56, 60 plays a game, mm-hmm. you better not give up 400 yards. I mean, yeah. You're going to be in trouble if you're giving up more than that on 50, 60 snaps in a game.
Michigan got 391.
They were close.
Yeah, they were close. Go ahead, Jay.
Go my Sean Callan. Sean, Emmett Johnson. Now, SIP has rightfully so been angry about this stat for a long time. It's been since 2011 that Nebraska's had a first-team All-American player. Emmett Johnson right now enters November 5th in the country in rushing yards. I'm curious, Sean, if he has a strong November, is he, you know, looking at a first-team All-Big Ten, potentially in the All-American conversation for Emmett Johnson at running back?
Well, he's been one of the best running backs in the country at 10-plus yard runs.
Okay.
I mean, especially in Power 4, but, you know, it tails off when you get to 15-plus yard runs. Yep. So he's very good at getting, like, the 10 to 14 yard run, and that's been a big part of his success and what he's been able to do. But, yeah, I think first-team All-Big Ten is a realistic path. All-American, I think a lot of it will depend on how Nebraska plays down
sure.
the stretch. I don't know if he's a first-teamer, but...
Hey, guys, it's Jake Sorensen. The holidays sneak up fast, but it's not too early to get your shopping done and actually have fun with it. Uncommon Goods makes holiday shopping stress-free and joyful with thousands of one-of-a-kind gifts you can't find anywhere else. Uncommon Goods has something for everyone, from moms and dads to kids and teens, from book lovers, history buffs, and diehard football fans to foodies, mixologists, and avid gardeners, You'll find thousands of new gift ideas that you won't find anywhere else. When you shop at Uncommon Goods, you're supporting artists and small independent businesses. Many of their handcrafted products are made in small batches, so shop now before they sell out this holiday season. And with every purchase you make at Uncommon Goods, they give back $1 to a nonprofit partner of your choice. They've donated more than $3 million to date. So shop early, have fun, and cross some names off your list today. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/earlybreak. That's uncommongoods.com/earlybreak for 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods, we're all out of the ordinary.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Today, Justice Haynes and Emma Johnson will probably be your top backs in the Big Ten. You know, USC's had injuries in their backfield. They, you know, so like their numbers are a little not right. Ohio State doesn't really have like one guy carrying the load. So Iowa doesn't either, as far as like what we've seen with them in the past. So it's just set up for Emmett, because there's very few teams that have relied on one back the way Nebraska has with Emmett Johnson in the Big Ten, and he's capitalized on that.
Sean, I don't know if you've thought this far ahead. It's only Wednesday. Is there, in your mind, what's Nebraska's path to victory on Saturday?
The balance of the offense has to be there. They've got to figure out a way to disrupt Maiva. I'm not saying sack him, because he's only been sacked like four times all year.
Wow.
He's mobile. He's mobile enough. He moves well enough that you don't sack him very much. But can they get him out of rhythm? And Lincoln Riley, as we know, is a great rhythm offensive coach when he gets rolling. But they have not been a great road team. I mean, since they've come to the Big Ten, their road wins are few and far between, and they've lost at a lot of places in the Big Ten. When you kind of study how they've transitioned to this league, so that intangible, you can't look past that. And you hope the night atmosphere, it's a little cooler compared to what they're coming from. I mean, there's some intangibles that you hope will help Nebraska in this game with the crowd and the different conditions that, you know, it's not going to be terrible weather, but it's 40, 50 degrees colder here than it is in L.A. right now.
Yeah, I think we're going to be in the 30s. Speaking of atmosphere, you're really good at atmosphere questions. What do you anticipate? What do you think this game will look like, feel like, at Memorial Stadium at 6:30 p.m.?
There's going to be a lot of buzz, a lot of excitement. I also think there's a lot of, like, fear. I mean, just not knowing what to expect.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think anybody really knows what to expect. I think it could go one of two ways. They're going to turn this into a four-quarter fist fight that goes down to the final possession,
mm-hmm.
and or USC is going to be too much, and Nebraska is not going to be able to match their offense, and I mean that, and they're going to get beat by 10, 14 points.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how I see this game going, and we'll know right away. And I think a lot of it's going to be, how do they stop the run? How do they match up against the run? And then, you know, Dylan, you know, if he's in a good rhythm early, and they're getting the ball out of his hand down the field. You know, it's a big game for Dana Holgorsen. I mean, it really is. When you think about him at Nebraska, you know, a moment like this to have the offense kind of geared up against Lincoln Riley, you know, what will Dana get out of this group?
Great point, Sean.
Sean, always good stuff. Thanks for the time. We will chat with you again next week.
All right, guys. Thank you.
Husker Online, Sean Callahan.
Wow. Man, it's easy to talk about games like this. This is an exciting week, and it is a big test for Dana and Dylan. It really is. I mean, you got to ride number 21 for sure, but Dylan's going to have to complete some big-time throws against a very – it's not a great defense, but it's very athletic, long athletic. His level of urgency is going to have to be high, and I agree with Sean. You got to kind of make this an ugly game, ugly it up, right?
Yeah. We give credit, and we should, for the last drive Nebraska had in converting all those third downs.
Four third downs.
Here's the problem. You can't live like that. You can't be living in third and seven every drive. Because
I agree.
Gonna, It's low percentage. Like, you, they got three in a row, and they got a third and five. I mean, they converted. Kudos to them.
Right.
But that's no way to live, especially at home against a ranked team.
No, and they're really good. Now, here's the thing, too. I'm glad you brought it up. USC's defense, as I've said, not great. 75th nationally in yards per carry allowed. Really, they're second nationally in red zone defense. It's because they have all that length, and the field gets shorter, and that length looks even more – it looks – longer, you know.
Yeah.
They are a good red zone defense. So, no, you're 100% right. That's no way to live. Dylan, give Dylan all the credit in the world for making those clutch throws, and they were good throws, and guys made guys broke tackles after catches. It was a good team effort, but you're right. You can't keep doing that.
Now, you made a comment earlier in the show, which I want to back you up on again here, is that you mentioned that you friend of the show, Michael Sevier.
Yeah, Michael Sevier
told you that the USC offensive line is not that good. When you said, hey, they're number one in the country in offense, is that right?
Yeah, number one in total yards per game, number one in passing offense, and number five nationally in scoring.
And this
offense
is why, again, we have issues with analytics and PFF. I'm looking, Sean just mentioned it, I'm looking right now. USC has allowed on the season six total sacks. Maya have a five sacks, and the backup has been sacked one time. Nebraska had nine sacks allowed against Minnesota and seven against Michigan.
Yeah.
That's a good offensive line. I don't care what the rankings say. That's a good line. Those stats, six sacks allowed, PFF is not always the gospel.
Analytics, I mean, it's questionable when you get that. Like, how do you tell me that the analytics for Nebraska, for USC's offensive line are bad when they lead the country in offense?
They can run and pass.
Yeah, now what you're going to hear on that is that it's because Maiva is so mobile. And
but he runs the he has 23 attempts on the season, and it's probably mostly scrambles.
Yeah, it's annoying. It's annoying. Those analytics. That's why I don't go.
He has 41 rushing yards. I know again only five sacks against him.
I wonder about people that go deep into analytics if how much they know really. I do because I don't. It doesn't match up. It doesn't match up with what I'm seeing. What I see with my own eyes.
Very, very good balance for USC. Also, you mentioned, you know, three good backs with Jordan Miller and Sanders. They have just shy of 1,500 yards on the season rushing. It's 6 yards a carry for the running backs combined.
No, it's
19 rush touchdowns, 16 receiving touchdowns. It's a good balanced team.
I know. They are balanced.
Well-balanced team, excuse me.
I don't want to overdo it on their offense, but they are number one nationally. I mean,
that says a lot.
Right.
Someone asked in the text line, how are their special teams? I've got some stats for you.
Please.
Their kicker, his name is Ryan Sayeri. He's a freshman from West Hills, California. Has missed one field goal. He's 12 of 13 with a long of 54.
Okay.
Made all his extra points.
Okay.
So they got a good kicker. Decent, I'm not sure about return game, but they're good. I mean, it's a Lincoln Riley well-rounded football team.
Yeah,
they're
it's
a
good.
Sound team.
It's sound.
It'll be a very difficult win for Nebraska.
Sean Saturday. Brings up environment a lot and weather. Like, I wonder how that kicker is if it's a day like this, if the wind's blowing hard and it's 30 degrees. How is he in that environment, I wonder?
I'm looking right now at the forecast Saturday. The high is 49 degrees.
And the low?
At kickoff, you're going to see this. It'll be about 44 degrees.
Okay.
And by the end of the game, it's still about 41, so it drops a couple degrees. But I don't know, in terms of wind projection, 5 to 8 miles per hour,
not much.
To 16. Precipitation, I see nothing. So it should be just really a chilly day.
Yeah. Yeah, that's probably not a big factor.
No.
As I see it, probably not a big factor.
Before we get to break, if you are looking for something to do tonight Lincoln, Nebraska.
Wednesday night.
I got an idea for you, Sip.
Mm-hmm.
You like food and drink?
What
do you like
think?
Sports?
I like sports.
It's a good combo, right?
Yeah.
How about Husker volleyball team? They're pretty good.
Yeah. Oh.
Tonight at Liquid Asset Sports Bar and Grill at 27th and Jamie Lane, just down by 27th and Yankee Hill, Jalen Reyes, Husker volleyball assistant coach, will be on the stage with our very own Nick Sainer.
That's
Big
an
swim.
Idea. Yeah.
This starts at 7 p.m. It's a speaker series they have once a month right now at Liquid Assets. He'll give you a look inside the volleyball program and take your questions. And this is a non-broadcasted event. You have to be there to actually take it in. This is sponsored by Mike and the team at Alpha Wealth Advisors, who focus on advising individuals and businesses on investing, retirement, and financial planning. Learn more about them at thealphawealth.com. At Liquid Assets, 23 beers on tap.
What a great idea, by the way.
They have high-end bourbon and spirits. You can also watch the World Series. You can watch other college football games as well. And have wings, their liquid gold hamburger, or the chocolate chip cookie skillet. That is tonight with Husky Volleyball coach, assistant coach Jalen Reyes at 7 p.m. at Liquid Assets Sports Bar and Grill, 27th at Jamie Lane, sponsored by Alpha Wealth Advisors.
There will be a lot of knowledge emanated.
I might be there. It's a chance I show up for
you
that.
You should.
Support Swim and the team over there.
Yes, you should.
When we come back, Pat Narduzzi has got comments on college athletes gambling on pro sports.
Okay, I'm interested.
Get that next on Early Break in the Ticket.